Ay, yolları gece.
Aleykümselam. Uğraşmacılar
Yusuf Nerede?
yavakat yaşa kalır.
إن الحمد طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أما بعد Our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah. We repeatedly emphasize that this book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad was specifically compiled regarding the conduct of a Muslim, his adab and his manners. So Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, in fact, the name of the book itself is Kitab al-Adab, the book about manners. But by way of distinguishing it from what Al-Imam al-Bukhari had compiled in his Sahih under the chapter heading on Adab when he said Kitab al-Adab, so that this separate book about Adab is not misunderstood to refer to the chapter about Adab, Kitab al-Adab, in his Sahih, Al-Jami' al-Sahih, this book is usually, it is added to its name to say Mufrad, why it is deliberately compiled separately regarding Adab. So when we say Al-Adab al-Mufrad, what we are saying is that the book that is specifically and separately compiled about Adab, and that was by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. What should a Muslim do, what he should not do, what he should say, and what he should not say, with being about the matters about things that we can say and things that we cannot say. For example, we now understand that it is not appropriate for a Muslim to, out of some arrogance and scorn for a people, say to them, "Ahalaka an-nas," the people are ruined, the people are finished, the people are destroyed, if not for describing just what you saw. If it's about condemnation, it is not appropriate for a Muslim to condemn a group of people and say "Halaku" by saying "Ahalaka an-nas." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he had prohibited us from saying that. He even warned that if we hear anybody saying that, فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ, such a person is worse, is more ruined, is more destroyed by those to whom he ascribes ruin and destruction. We also learned that if, for example, we want to describe a person, the person is tall or short, and we say, "Oh, brother Abu Abdullah, or Abu Abdurrahman, a tawil." When we mean tawil is being tall, we do not intend to impugn on his personality or destroy or insult him. No. Nuridu bidhalika al-sifata wa la nuridu al-ghiba. We only intend to describe him. We do not intend any sort of a backbiting. So in these kinds of circumstances, it is lawful to say that. So it's lawful to say that. It's also from the things that are lawful for the Muslim to say is that when he is praised, إِذَا زُكِيَّ, and that was the last chapter that we had, The last chapter was about ما يقول الرجل إذا زكي. What the individual should say when he is praised. إخوة, والله, praises destroy people. We have seen people that praises have destroyed. When you praise them, they now overrate themselves and place themselves where they do not belong to. This is very, very, very common amongst the people. And that was why initially the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he had warned the one who praised his brother. In a report, say, قَطَعْتَ عُنُقَ صَاحِبِكَ. You have broken the neck of your brother. Don't break the neck of your brother by praising him. Even among some people who have some sort of a knowledge, especially those who indulge so deeply in the sciences of Ashir, poetry, when they want to destroy someone, they praise him. They praise him and sing his praises. This is well known amongst them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he warned us that if it's now absolutely so necessary that you have to praise him, in kana ahadukum madihan la mahala, if you have to unavoidably praise the person, فَلْيَقُلْ, then we should say, أَحْسَبُهُ كَذَا وَكَذَا, I think that he is like this, he is like this, it's like this, it's like this. وَحَسِيبُهُ Allah, the one who truly would assess and know how he is Allah. وَلَا يُزَكِي أَلَى اللَّهِ أَحْدًا. We should not praise anybody and mention anybody free of faults before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the things that is common from the early Muslims is that when anyone was praised, they made that dua. The Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhum, Adi ibn Arta, he said, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا زُكِّيَ قَالْ. Whenever he is praised, he would say, اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. And in an addition, in other riwayat, it says, وَجَعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون. Oh Allah, don't hold me responsible over what they say about me. So they return to Allah. Today, one of the major destructive elements in the society, things about which people have been destroyed, it finished them, is praises. The social media is full of that. About everything you say, about everything you write, you expect to be praised. You expect to be given thumbs up. You expect thumbs up. So for everything you say, you go back. You check the post. How many people thumbed up? How many people praised it? What were the comments of praise? People have become used to praising people and being praised. People have become used to praising people and being praised. For the sake of Allah, let us be very moderate about this matter. Yes, it is lawful to say words of encomium when it is appropriate and due, but be moderate about it. Be honest, be truthful about it. Do not praise a man with what he has not, and do not praise him beyond his actual self. Please, for the sake of Allah, praises have destroyed people. You can make statements of encouragement. How jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu fikum, and all of these. But we have been so used to praises in our own times. And when people praise you, remember to revert and return to Allah in humility. اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون ولا what they say of me of goodness. لا تؤاخذني, do not hold me responsible for it. واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون, forgive me what they know not about me. They do not know so many things. I'm a human being. So forgive me regarding my faults that they don't know. So this individual, when he says this, he acknowledges the fact that he is weak and he is also susceptible to faults and errors. وَغْفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُ. And then he says, وَجَعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Wallah, make me better than what they think of me. Wallah, make me better than what they think of me. So if they think of me to be good on a scale of 4, make me a better person. So you will not lose the virtue that they praise you about. You are also asking Allah's forgiveness regarding the false things you are supposed to be upon that you are not upon. And then you quickly turn to Allah to protect your ego. To protect your ego. La tu akhiz mi bima yaqulun. Allah, protect me. Don't hold me responsible for what they say. Today, people even employ people to praise them, to praise what they say, to praise what they write. May Allah protect all of us. So we have been on discussions about things that are lawful for us to say and things that are not lawful for us to say. Today, bi-idhnillah, we'll be looking at three issues from the things that the question is still there. Can we say this? Can a Muslim, is it from the conduct of a Muslim to talk like this? Can a Muslim say something like this? Or should a Muslim not speak like this? Oh, it is not from the proper manners in Islam that a Muslim should speak like that. So stop speaking like that. Or, yes, people may think that it is wrong, but it is lawful. So these are the kinds of issues we'll be looking at from three topics today. The first one is Babun aw Babu la yaqulu li shay'in la ya'lamuhu. Allahu ya'lamuhu. The chapter about la yaqulu li shay'in la ya'lamuhu. The individual should not say about something that he does not know. He was asked about it and he does not know it. Then he says, Allahu ya'lamuhu. Allah knows it. But you don't know. But you say Allah knows it. You don't know the reality of what was asked. You don't know anything about it. You say Allahu ya'lamuhu. Allah knows it. Allah knows. Allah knows. We'll come back to fuller explanation about this expression. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah explained this expression so much in Kitab al-Adhkar rahimahullah. He said these expressions, people are used to it. Inna min aqbahil alfaz al-mazmuma ma ya'taduhu kathirun min al-nas idha arada ahaduhum an yahlif ala shay'in. He said min aqbahil alfaz al-mazmuma, from the despiteful and obnoxious expression that are blameworthy. The expression is bad and it is blameworthy. Is the one that many of the people are used to. Ma ya'taduhu kathirun min an-nas. Is that expression that many of the people have become used to. What happens? Idha arada ahaduhum an yahlifa ala shay'in. When any one of them, someone wants to swear regarding a matter. Something happened. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 happened. So he is reporting the matter and he wants to swear that these things actually happened. فإذا أراد أحدهم أن يحلف على شيء يتورع من قوله والله كراهية الحنف. Instead of saying 1, 2, 3, 4 happened, والله, to affirm that yes, it really happened. He does not want to vow. He's just avoiding vowing and saying wallahi. Aw ijlala lillah. Or that out of respect and esteem that he shows for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not want to vow. And then he now says, Allahu ya'lamu ma kana huwa kaba wa kaba wa nahwa. Allah knows that what happened was this. And even Allah knows that what happened is this. Instead of making the statement and actually confirming that this was what happened. So that was why he said, Rahimahullah, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَاحِبُهَا فَيَقْقَنَ الْأَمْرَ كَمَا قَالَ فَلَا بَعْسَ بِهَا. If you are sure that what really happened was 1, 2, 3, 4, فَلَا بَأْسَ بِهَا, then there is no blame in making such an expression. Why? Because you know that what happened was 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's the reality. And Allah knows that. So if you say, Allah knows this was what happened, and Allah knows, then that is lawful. إِنْ كَانَ صَاحِبُهَا تَيَقَّنَ الْأَمْرِ. If the person making such an expression is certain that that was what happened. وَإِنْ شَكَّ فِي ذَلِكَ. Or if in a doubt, he didn't know what actually happened. Was it 1, 2, 3, 4? Or 1 and 4? Or 2 and 3? What was it that actually happened? If you are not sure. He said, وَإِنْ شَكَّ فِي ذَلِكَ. But if he becomes doubtful about what actually happened, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَقْبَحِ الْقَبَاحِحِ, then that is from the most unwanted and very bad, obscene things that you can imagine. لِأَنَّهُ تَعَرَّضَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَلَّا اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because that such a person will be walking around, will be pushing the matter around, lying and ascribing the lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't know what happened. You are not sure whether it is 1 and 4 that happened. You are not sure. You now say, God knows it was 1, 2, 3. Ah, why are you putting to Allah what you don't know? So he said, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّهُ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَعْلَمُ شَيْئًا لَا يَتَيَقَّنُ كَيْفَ هُوَ. And that is because the individual is ascribing to Allah that Allah knows, even God knows. So he may know that it's a lie, and he may know that he is in doubt about it. So if you know that what has happened is as you are saying it, then you can say, يَعْلَمُ اللَّهَ. I know somebody like that. He tells a lot of lies. And many times he'll say, يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ, يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ. And he's telling a lie. So meanwhile, the lie that he's telling, it is the opposite of it that is the truth in the knowledge of Allah. So the lie is not what it is. But he is ascribing that lie to the knowledge of Allah. It is مِنْ أَقْبَحِ الْقَبَائِحِ, from the most obscene, most disgraceful thing anybody will say. You tell a lie, you ascribe the lie to the knowledge of Allah. But if what you are saying is the reality, that was what actually happened, and you are saying يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ, yes, then you are correct. فَلَا بَأْسَ بِذَلِكَ. Allah knows this was what happened. This happened a lot with munafiqun. They would say something, Allah would say they are telling a lie. Allah will say, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَذِبُونَ. And Allah is well aware. He knows fully subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are lying. But when they talk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they tell a lie. They say, oh, even Allah knows. Even Allah knows. Meanwhile, the opposite of what they are saying is the reality and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they now ascribe that their lie to Allah. As if to say, even Allah knows that what we are saying now, which is the truth, which is the falsehood, is in His knowledge. Even Allah knows that what we are saying now is correct. But He knows that what He is saying is a lie. He's only ascribing that lie to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is bad. This is bad. But if the person is saying the matter as it is, Al-Imam Nawawi said, Rahimahullah, he said, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَاحِبُهَا تَيَقَّنَ الْأَمْرَ كَمَا قَالْ فَلَا بَعْثَ بِهَا. That expression, there is no blame if you say, Allahu ya'lamuhu, Allah knows it, that what I'm saying is the truth. And what you're actually saying is the truth, then there's no blame. But if what you're saying is a lie, or what you're saying is something that you don't even know about, and you are saying and affirming it, and saying that Allah knows, the implication is that you are ascribing that lie to the knowledge of Allah, and that is not appropriate. I hope that this matter is clear. Many times, if you go to the market, especially I lived amongst the Igbos for more than 25 years. If you talk to them in the market, say, even God no. Meanwhile, he's telling a lie. This kind of a thing should not be found with a Muslim. You tell a lie and say, even God knows. God knows. God knows. It's a lie. May Allah protect us. The only time you can say that and be correct about it is when what you are saying is exactly what has happened. When what you are saying is exactly what transpired, then it is lawful to say, God knows. Allah knows. Allahu ya'lamuhu. Allah knows it. As I am saying it, fala ba'sa bidhalik. There is no blame in that. But when it is not, you are not sure, or when it is the opposite, and now you mention God, God knows that you are lying, my dear brother. What is in the knowledge of Allah is opposite of what you are ascribing to it. Then that is not lawful at all. May Allah protect all of us. It may even be from the aspects of kufr. May Allah protect us. Imam al-Bukhari seeks to address this matter with us as hadith number 764. He said, حدثنا علي بن عبد الله قال حدثنا سفيان قال قال أمر عن ابن عباس لا يقولن أحدكم لشيء لا يعلمه الله يعلمه والله يعلم غير ذلك ويعلم الله ما لا يعلم فذاك عند الله عظيم. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله cites this manner of speech and caution regarding our expressions from Abdullah ibn Abbas, which is isnad from his Shaykh Ali ibn Abdullah ibn al-Madini رحمه الله. When he said, حدثنا علي بن عبد الله. علي بن عبد الله, that is Al-Imam علي بن المديني, one of the most respected teachers of Al-Bukhari, from the teachers of Al-Bukhari that he respected most, rahimahullah, was this Imam علي بن عبد الله ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah. He said, حدثنا سفيان. It was reporting from his own Sheikh, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. Imam Ahmed had mentioned how the two of them, himself, Imam Ahmed, and Ali ibn al-Madini, were with Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahumullah. How they took knowledge from him, how they were patient with him, I think for about 6 months or so. Al-Imam Ahmad gave explanations regarding that. So Ali ibn al-Madini here is reporting from his Shaykh Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He said, قال أمر. سفيان سيد عمرو ابن دينار المكي. عمرو ابن دينار was from amongst the well-known students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, especially in Mecca. So he is Makki, Amr ibn Dinar al-Makki. He is reporting from his own Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abbas. This isnad is so sound. So sound, so neat. It involves a'imma at every stage of the report. Between al-Bukhari, or above al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, was Ali ibn al-Madini. Above him was Ibn Uyayna. Above him was Amr ibn Dinar. From the best teachers of al-Bukhari was Ali ibn al-Madini. From the best teachers of Ali ibn al-Madini was Sufyan. From the best of the teachers of Sufyan was Amr ibn Dinar. And from the best of the teachers of Amr was Ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He said, لا يقولن أحدكم لشيء لا يعلمه. No one of you should say regarding a matter that he has no knowledge about. You don't know what actually transpired. You did not know, you don't know, you don't have knowledge. You are ignorant. You don't know whether it was A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't know. You simply do not know. You are simply not aware about it. And then you begin to say, Allahu ya'lamuhu. Oh, God knows it. God knows. Wallahu ya'lamu ghayra zalik. And Allah is well aware of the opposite of what you are saying. What happened was A, B, C, D. You are saying that 1, 2, 3, 4 happened. God knows. God knows that it was 1, 2, 3, 4. And what is in the knowledge of Allah is, I know it is one, not 1, 2, 3, 4. It was A, B, C, D that actually happened. Wallahu ya'lamu ghayra zalik. He is saying that it was 1, 2, 3, 4. God knows it was 1, 2, 3, 4. He didn't know. The person talking does not know, does not have knowledge. Then he says, Allahu ya'lam. Even God knows. Meanwhile, what actually transpired was A, B, C, D. So what he is saying that God knows, it is the opposite of it, 1, 2, 3, 4, not A, B, C, D. And he is ascribing A, B, C, D to the knowledge of Allah. Allahu ya'lamu ghayra thalik. It is the opposite of what he is saying, that is the truth that is in the knowledge of Allah. فَيُعَلِّمَ اللَّهَ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُ. So about the matter, he wants to portray telling Allah what Allah did not know. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knew that it was the opposite of what you are saying. You are the one that is telling a lie and ascribing that lie to the knowledge of Allah. Ibn Abbas said, rahimahullah, radiyallahu anhuma, fadhaka inda Allahi azim. That kind of an expression is big, is a big sin. The sight of Allah, in the law, the sight of Allah, it's a big, big sin. You don't know what happened. Why are you saying it and making Allah, ascribing Allah to know something and it was the opposite of what happened? And like we said, if it was 1, 2, 3, 4 actually that happened, and you are saying, Allahu ya'lamuhu. It was 1, 2, 3, 4 that happened. Even God knows it. There's no problem. As long as you are telling the truth. But if you don't know what actually happened, or you are in doubt about what actually happened, don't ascribe that your doubt. Don't ascribe that your ignorance. Don't ascribe it to Allah. Why? He said, radiyallahu anhuma, فَذَاكَ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. That's a big, 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 big sin before Allah. Very, 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 very big. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنْسَانِ اجْتِنَابُ أَمْثَالِ هَذِهِ الْعِبَارَاتِ وَالْأَلْفَاظِ. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, then it is necessary فهذه العبارة فيها خطر. That expression, even God knows, contains some things of danger. فينبغي للإنسان اجتناب أمثال هذه العبارات والألفة. It is therefore necessary and incumbent on the individual to abstain from the usage of these kinds of expression. You should only use that expression, inshallah, when you know what actually transpired. Allahu ya'lamu. Yes, this was actually what happened. But that you are saying 1, 2, 3, 4 happened when it was actually A, B, C, D. And you are saying 1, 2, 3, 4. Even God knows it was 1, 2, 3, 4. What God knows that happened was A, B, C, D, not 1, 2, 3, 4. So what you are ascribing to the knowledge of Allah is falsehood. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, al-fadaka inda Allahi azim. That kind of an expression is a big sin. You are ascribing to Allah, atakuluna ala Allahi ma la ta'alam. Are you telling us about Allah something that you know not? May Allah protect all of us. What you are ascribing to the knowledge of Allah does not occur in His knowledge like that. Ikhwah, this is another wake-up call. We all should be careful what we say, especially and what we ascribe to Allah. Even God knows. Something similar to this is many people make a statement and say, it's in the Quran, it's in the Quran, and it is not in the Quran. Because the Quran contains its kalamullah. The Quran, al-Quran, kalamullah. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are saying that something is in the Quran, you are saying that Allah has said it. And it is not in the Quran. Allah cursed the Jews for that. وَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. Curse, oh, be upon those who, they were the ones who wrote the book by themselves, the Jews. Most of what you find with them now, they wrote it and concorded it by themselves. They just put it together by themselves. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. Allah has not sent down any authority for it. Paul wrote his own. People came, scribes, writers, historians. Everybody came and wrote their own. ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. They were the ones who wrote it, and then they come to ascribe it and say, this has come from Allah. Allah said, فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا قَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. So woe be upon them for what they write and ascribe to Allah. So don't ascribe to Allah except what you know, ikhwa, if you are certain. They say, this was how it went. This was how the matter went. So if you want to take a swear, yes, you can say, Wallahi, that's sufficient. It's sufficient. It may be necessary sometimes, especially when you are asked, make a vow. Say, Wallahi, don't do that also upon a lie. And I'm sure we all know that. So something similar to that people do rather than saying, Wallahi. You hear them just saying, Ya'alamuhu Allah. Oh, Allahu Ya'alamuhu. Allah knows it. Meanwhile, it was a lie. What happened is different. What you are ascribing that Allah knows is also different. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Tatas, radiallahu anhumah, doing that kind of a thing is a big sin. Fazaka inda Allahi azim. That's a big sin in the sight of Allah. God knows, God knows, even God knows, say, when you know that what you are saying is a lie, don't bring Allah in His knowledge, mentioning His knowledge and ascribing something to it, except what is true, because you'll be ascribing falsehood to Allah. May Allah protect all of us. I hope that this hadith is clear. The next issue we discuss is another expression. In this case, many of the people think that the expression is unlawful, but the expression is lawful. Some scholars think that the expression is not lawful. Sheikh Tok Ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd, he has an entire compendium about expressions, particular expressions that we should not say. Don't talk like this. Don't talk like this. He called it al-manahi al-lafziya, the prohibitions regarding our expressions. That is prohibited expressions. Mu'jamul manahi al-lafziya is a compendium about expressions that a Muslim should not say. One of them that some scholars have classified like this is this expression, Qawsu Quzah. Qawsu Quzahin. Some scholars say we should not use that expression, Qawsu Quzah. The basic meaning of a Qaws is an arc. An arc. You know the arc? The arc, like a bow. Qaws. You know the bow, if you want to shoot an arrow, the one that is curved, the wood, that curved part of it, the Arabs refer to it as the qaws. So this qaws, if you say qawsu quzah, it is an expression referring to rainbows. We remember rainbows. If you look in the sky, when it's just rain, drizzled, you see in the sky something appearing like a qaws, like an arc, like a curve in the horizon. That curve, that arc, that qaws, Arabs refer to it as qawsu quzah. Now this word quzah is the problem. The qaws is there, but what kind of a qaws is it? In the earlier times, so many things have been reported about this word quzah. Some Arabs believe that it is the name of an idol. And this one occurs in a hadith. That hadith was even discussed by Imam al-Albani in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Da'ifa. And the hadith is mawzu' that the quzah shaitan is the name of a demon. A shaitan, a jinn, quzah. So when you say qawsu quzah, if you refer to the rainbow as qawsu quzah, the arc of quzah, it means you are saying that that devil, that shaitan, is the owner of it. So some scholars say, so don't say qawsu quzah. It is not lawful because the demon, the shaitan, does not own something. You should rather say Qawsullah, the qaws, the ark belonging to Allah, because it is from the creatures of Allah. So you should rather say Qawsullah, rather than saying Qawsu Quzah, rather than saying the ark of Quzah, and Quzah was a demon, was a shaitan. Like we said, this hadith that says that Quzah is a shaitan is mawdu'. The hadith is not sahih at all. And that was what the scholars who say we cannot refer to the rainbow as qawsu quzah, this was what they depended upon. So qawsu quzah, the arc of the devil called quzah, the quzah is not necessarily a devil. The report that mentions it to be a devil, that report is a fabricated report. It's not authentic. Even before that report and aside it, Arabs also believe, they had other beliefs about this word, quzah, is the problem. Yes, the rainbow is an arc. It appears in the sky. But how do you call it? Do you call the rainbow qawsu quzah? What is this quzah? If it is a qaws, yes, it appears as an arc. But is it belonging to quzah? What is the meaning of quzah? So others among the scholars say that the quzah is the name of a mountain around Muzdalifah. Quzah. And at that mountain, in the earlier times, it was around it that the Arabs began to notice the rainbow. So they ascribed the rainbow to that Kuzah, that it is the arc that appears around Mount Kuzah. So when you hear Kausu Kuzah, this is one meaning amongst Arabs, apart from it being a devil, no. It's only referring to how Arabs began to sight the rainbow, the Qaws, that arc of the rainbow. When they first sighted it, they sighted it around a mountain whose name was what? Kuzah. As if it was going around, cutting, you know, like an arc over the mountain. So they named it by it, that arc. That bow, that colorful bow that we noticed around Mount Kuzah, that therefore it does not necessarily mean that the rainbow, if you call it also Kuzah, you are now referring it to be owned by a devil. No. Kuzah is the name of the mountain where the Arabs began to notice it. So they referred to it as if to say it is that arc around that mountain, Kuzah. There is yet another linguistic explanation. They say that Al-Kuzah was picked from Takzih, At-Takzih. And they say that At-Takzih is from the meanings of At-Tazyin wa At-Tahsin. That if you look at the rainbow, a kuzih is an arc that expresses beauty. Because you know how the colors of the rainbow come. So kuzah was picked from the kuzih, from the meaning of what tazyin and what at-tahsin, beautification, and making something to be nice. So it makes it beautifies the sky. That arc is a Qaws, Kuzah, beautifying the sky. So some of them say this is from where the meaning came. It did not necessarily come from the name of a devil called Kuzah. I hope that it is clear. So Imam al-Bukhari here, the scholars say, from them who said that was Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Zayd in his Mu'jam al-Manahi al-Lafziyah. He, rahimahullah, said, Al-Imam al-Bukhari deliberately cited this for us to know that it is lawful for us to say Qawsu Kuzah. The report that said Kuzah is a shaitan, is a devil, is not authentic. Kuzah was rather picked from the mountain where the Arabs first noticed it. Or it was picked from its meaning concerning its beauty and how it beautifies the sky. So it is lawful to say Qawsu Kuzah. This word Qawsu Kuzah, it is a word that is lawful for us to say. To make us understand this, he cited an Athar. That occurs as Athar. Report 765 in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He said, Haddathana al-Hasan ibn Umar. قال حدثنا عبد الوارث عن علي بن زيد قال حدثني يوسف بن مهران عن عبد الله بن عباس قال المجرة من أبواب السماء وأما قوس قزح فأمان من الغرق بعد قوم نوح عليه السلام. Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith, this report from Abdullah ibn Abbas, this hadith on Mawquf from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, with his isnad. Al-Bukhari started from his Shaykh al-Hasan ibn Umar. So he said, Haddathana al-Hasan ibn Umar. He said, Qala Haddathana Abdul Warif, well-known Abu Ubaida. عبد الوارث بن سعيد رحمه الله is reporting from this well-known weak reporter of hadith, Ali ibn Zayd ibn Juda'an. Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is well known to be a weak reporter of hadith. So take note. This report we are reading now here from Abdullah ibn Abbas is weak. Why? It has Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an in it. It's not. And Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is a weak reporter of hadith. He is reporting from his own Sheikh Yusuf ibn Mihran. So he said, Haddathani Yusuf ibn Mihran. It's Yusuf ibn Mihran al-Basri. He is the one who is the tabi'i of this report. Reporting it from Abdullah ibn Abbas. That al-majarratu babun min abwab as-sama'. Al-majarratu babun min abwab as-sama'. Al-majarratu, ikhwa, we come back to it. What does it mean to say al-majarra? Even though literally many of the people interpret it to mean the Milky Way. Why is that really? Was it the Milky Way? Type al-majarratu, we come back to what it means. Ibn Abbas in this report was reported to say that al-majarratu babu min abwab as-sama. The majarra is one of the gates of the heavens. That is, from it rains water, drops to the sky. That's why it is called the gates of it. Al-Majarra. It is Babu min Abwab as-Sama, one of the gates of the heavens. It is called the gates of the heavens. We shall see in the next report, bi-Ibnillah. Because water comes down from it. But it says, Wa'amma qawsu Qudah, which is our point of reference under this particular chapter, Babu Qawsi Qudah, the chapter regarding the rainbow. Don't forget, the rainbow is the arc, it is the Qaws. Can we refer to a rainbow as Qawsu Qudah? This is the point. For here, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, as is in this report, which this is not, that Wa'amma Qawsu Qudah, as for Qawsu Qudah, the rainbow, fa'amanu min al-gharq. It is a security, it's a symbol of security from being drenched by water. Ba'da qawmi Nuhin alayhi salam. After the people of Noah, it was said that when they saw the rainbow, they became confident that the rains have stopped. And so we remember the story of the deluge, how the waters from the heavens, like Allah said in Surah Al-Qamar, that He opened the gates of the heavens, bima'in munhamir. So, وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونَا فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرْ. So the waters destroyed the people of Nuh. But it was amanun. It was a means, it was an information of security, min al-gharq, that, oh, you have been saved from the deluge. What made them know that they've been saved? Because of the rainbow, also Qudah. The rainbow indicated how the rain, the deluge has ended. So the point of reference here is that this expression Qawsu Qudah can be used. You can say Qawsu Qudah, and you don't mean that Qudah is the name of one devil or one demon. No, Qawsu Qudah. Qaws is the bow, the arc, the rainbow in the sky. And it is called Qudah, whether after the mountain from where the Arabs began to sight it and note it, where the mountain was called Al-Qudah, or that it is from At-Taqzih, At-Tazin, from the beauty and the color variation that it shows in the sky. So it was called Qawsu Qudah, the act of dutification. So it is a lawful statement. When you say rainbow, you call it qawsu quzah in Arabic. It is an expression that is lawful. But here it says fa amanun min al-gharq. It's a symbol that the deluge has ended. They are safe from the deluge. Ba'da qawmi Nuhin, after the people of Nuh, those who were destroyed were destroyed. Those who were alive found the rainbow as an indication of security that the rains have stopped. I hope that this is clear. We quickly go to the next chapter. Babu al-Majarrati. Babu al-Majarra. Many of the translators, many of those, if you go to Arabic dictionaries, they've translated al-Majarra to mean the Milky Way. You know what the Milky Way means? It's a group of stars, huge, far away in the sky. It is said that our own sun is also part of the Milky Way, like our Earth too, and all of these, far away. We look at it, all of these huge stars, thick in the sky, looking like the calabash, the big calabash. I think in the olden times when we were younger, we used to have some mud made containers of water. One of them will have a thick mouth, and the middle of it will be wide, big, wide. So it will be appearing like something white at its tail end, at the middle towards the tail end, small at the end, and small on top, wide like a circle, like an orange. But at the top, it has a place where you can put a hand and collect water. This is how, if you look at the sky, you'll be looking at Al-Majarra. So what today it is referred to as the Milky Way. If you look at the books, even in Arabic, pure Arabic dictionaries, that is what they will describe to you. So what Ali ibn Abi Talib was asked about Al-Majarra, he didn't say Milky Way. He gave a name. So what is it? What is Al-Majarra? Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana al-Humaydi. Al-Imam al-Humaydi, his teacher, he was the first person that he reported a hadith from in Sahih al-Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Zubayr al-Makki al-Humaydi, that well-known student of al-Imam al-Shafi'i, Imamullah. He said, Haddathana Sufyan. That's al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna and ibn Abi Hussein. وغيره ابن أبي حسين was Abdullah ibn عبد الرحمن القرش عن أبي الطفيل. It was reported by أبو الطفيل عمرو ابن وافلة الليثي. أبو الطفيل, one of the companions who, when the Prophet passed away صلى الله عليه وسلم, أبو الطفيل was very, very young. So he was the one reporting that Sa'ala ibn al-Kawwa Aliyan anil Majarra. Ibn al-Kawwa, Abdullah ibn al-Kawwa, very troublesome in the early times. Ibn al-Kawwa asked Ali ibn Abi Talib anil Majarra. Come, what is al-Majarra? What does it mean? And Ali said, radiyallahu anhu, huwa sharaju al-sham, huwa sharaju al-sama, huwa Sharaj al-Sama. The Majarra that you are asking about, it is Sharaj al-Sama, the huge passage area of water from the sky. From the sky, it's the huge, from it water drops. وَمِنْهَا فُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. When Allah said that, he opened the gates of water, bima in munhamir, as we read in Surah Al-Qamar. It was from that huge place in the heavens. So this would mean that Al-Majarrah was something huge far away that they saw in the sky. It may be what we now refer to as Milky Way or not, but it was a huge structure in the sky, looking like the calabash, deep. And from it, the rains descended during the deluge of the people of Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Al-Majarrah was described to be that huge thing, like a gathering of stars. The stars may be far away from where we have the rains. So it may even be referring to a cloud, and Allah knows best. That Al-Majarrah may be referring to a cloud, a cloud looking like a big, huge calabash in the sky. So when the rains drop, it drops from it. But here, because it says that Allah sent down those rains from the heavens itself, so the early Muslims like Ali ibn Abi Talib said, it opened up from there, the waters from the heavens came down from Al-Majarrah. So that is what we can say about that. The next hadith was 677, regarding Qawsu Quzah and Al-Majarrah also. Qawsu Quzah, don't forget, that refers to the rainbow. And it is lawful for us to make that kind of an expression. Quzah does not mean shaitan or devil or demon. Quzah means the designing, the beauty of the heavens that we notice inside the ark that we now refer to as rainbows. So the rainbow can be called Qawsu Quzah, and Al-Majarrah is a huge structure in the sky through which waters came down to the earth during the deluge. Here in this report is in the meaning of what we had discussed. So we can take it together, bismillah. Al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Arim, well-known. Arim is well-known, Muhammad ibn al-Fadl, Abu Nu'man. His nickname is Arim. He said, haddathana Abu Awana, that's his own kunya. Wabbahu ibn Abdullah al-Yashkuri, Abu Awana. We read a number of hadith from him in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He is reporting from Abu Bishrin. Abu Bishrin is Ja'far ibn Iyas. He's also from the same background like Abu Awana. He is al-Yashkuri also. He's the one reporting from Sa'id ibn Jubair, well-known from the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu. And he's reporting this one from Ibn Abbas, that al-Qaws amanun li ahli al-ardi min al-gharb. The rainbow is a sign of security away from that deluge. The rainbow is a sign of security from the rains, from the deluge. When they saw the rainbow, they knew that the deluge was over. When the rains, the heavens released water, and the earth was also commanded, release your water. So the boats released water from the heavens and the earth regarding the deluge. But when they saw the clouds, the rainbow, the ark, the bow in the sky full of colors, Quzah, they knew that the rains were over. So it was a means of conveying security to them that you have been saved from deluge. Wal-Majarrah too. As for Al-Majarrah, it is Babu Samai Allazi Tanshaqqu Minhu. It is a pathway in the heavens from where it bursts open. The heaven bursts open from Al-Majarrah. And that was why in the previous report from Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, Futihati Sama'u bima'in munhamir. The heavens got water coming down. Ma'un munhamir, munhamir, ma'un kathir. A lot of water coming down from the sky. The pathway from that is called Al-Majarrah. The pathway from that is called Al-Majarra. It's a pathway for waters from the heavens. If the heaven opens up, that place, the pathway that it opens up from, the name is Al-Majarra. I hope that it is clear. But as for saying Qawsu Quzah, it is lawful. Quzah does not necessarily mean the name of a jinn or the name of a devil. I hope that it is clear, Abu Yusuf. Abu Yusuf, Abu Abdurrahman, or Abu Amir. I mean, we are connected. We can look at a few questions we have.
Now, concerning the praise and a kunya, my question is, if I praise my children and my wife with intention of showing love and compassion, it is the lawful.
It will be lawful if you fulfill three conditions. Condition number one, you'll be praising them for what is in them, what they actually did good. They did good, yes. Your wife serves you food, yes. She does this, yes. She did this, yes. Your children did this, oh yes. They passed mathematics, yes. They passed English, yes. But don't praise them for mathematics when what they passed was geography, not maths. Because you'll be doing it wrongly. Don't praise them except for what is in them. The second condition you must fulfill. You must be sure that the praise will not become a fitna to them. Many people have become drawn into fitan because of praise. They were praised initially, they will be discountenancing the praise. Gradually, they begin to think that that's how they really are, perfection. Even if the praise was about something small, their mind takes it big and bloats it. Self-amazement sets in. Al-ujub. So if you know that it will not destroy the home, the Prophet discouraged praising people so much, repeatedly. If it will not destroy your home, destroy the women, destroy the children, just stay within limits. Stay within limits so that it does not cause a problem in the future. It's not like a thing with which you cause an entertainment for the wife and children. So be careful. It's like a sword with two heads. It can be beneficial. It can also be destructive. May Allah protect you and all of us. The third thing you must be careful about when you want to praise, don't forget to make that zikr, that this is the way we have seen you. Wallahu hasibuka hakadha nahsibuhu. That's how we see the person. Wallahu hasibuhu. But Allah knows him more. Allah knows him best. We're only saying what we have seen. Then in that too, you teach them. That's your own zikr after you praise them. You now teach them the zikr that they will be saying when you praise them. Allahumma la tu'akhizni bima yaqulun wa ghafir li ma la ya'lamun wa ja'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. Oh Allah, this is my praise that my father is praising me. La tu'akhizni, don't take me to responsibility for it. Your wife, oh, this is my praise that my husband is praising me. Allah, don't hold me responsible for it. What probably my husband does not know or my father does not know about me. Forgive me Forgive me those faults that are hidden from me. وَجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Make me better than my father thinks. So the third condition is teach your children the zikr to say, teach your family the zikr to say whenever they came across a word of praise. You should also say the zikr too when you have to praise them within the limits, being sure that praising them will not bring about negative repercussions. I hope that it is clear.
In another question, it says, is this different from saying Allah or Alam when one is not sure?
If you are not sure, avoid bringing Allah in faith. If you say Allahu A'lam, you are saying that Allah knows best. Ulama usually say that when they explain the matters of the religion, based on knowledge, when they explain their knowledge, explain, quote hadith, quote this, quote that, by way of humbling themselves and by way of declaring oneness for Allah, by way of ascribing absolute correctness to Allah. Say, Allah knows best. Allahu A'lam. Yes, this is a true statement. After showing knowledge, after describing, after citing, after quoting, after explaining, after dispensing knowledge, say, Allahu A'lam. Yes. So that brings humility and also describes the fact that absolute knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for someone who does not know, say, if they ask you something you don't know, say, La adri. The ulama usually say that La adri nisful ilm. You don't know, it is part of knowledge. Why? You are just declaring that you don't know. It means you know what you don't know. You know what you don't know. So that's what you know there. You know that you don't know. How about the one talking? وَلَا يَدْرِي أَنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي. He's giving an answer. He does not know that he does not know. Ulama refer to this one as jahil. His jahil is even jahil murakkab. So he'll be proving something the opposite of what is the reality and correct thing. So if you don't know, say, لَا أَدْرِي. If you don't know, you should say it, I don't know. But if you know, you explain, you describe, you cite verse, you cite hadith, prove the point, you now come back to humble and direct absolute correctness to Allah. Yes, Allahu A'lam. So when you don't know, say that you don't know. Avoid saying Allahu A'lam when you don't know. Say you don't know when you don't know. These days, many people to whom knowledge is ascribed hardly say, I don't know. And really unfortunate. They think it's an insult to say, I don't know. Someone traveled all the way from Maghrib, from Morocco to Medina, North Africa, to Medina, to ask Al-Imam Malik 100 questions. I kept on saying, La Adri, La Adri, La Adri. I don't know. Malik. Malik ibn Anas, Abu Abdullah. He said, I don't know. So who are you not to be able to say, I don't know? Publicly say, I don't know when you don't know. So if you know, explain. If you finish your explanation and then you say, Allahu A'lamu, that one is understood. You are humbling yourself and you are directing absolute knowledge and correctness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perfection to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, but when you don't know, say that you don't know. Avoid saying Allahu A'lam when you don't know. Say you don't know. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah grant us knowledge that is beneficial. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma This is the dua. Al-Imam Abu Dawud reported this hadith in his Sunan. Ibn Majah also did, rahimahumullah, from the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam taught the companions to say, Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wanfa'na bima allamtana wazidna ilma. O Allah, teach us what will bring benefit to us. Many people have knowledge and that knowledge does not benefit them by them not acting upon it, by them acting opposite knowledge. So Allah, allimna ma yanfa'una, teach us knowledge, grant us the knowledge that will benefit us. Wanfa'na bima allamtana, the one you already taught us, make it be beneficial. Wazidna ilma, increase our knowledge. You remember in the Quran, Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. So when you finish explanation, you say, Allahu A'lam. But if you don't know, say, you don't know. Nobody thinks that you know everything. And don't present yourself as if you know everything. If you don't know, say, you don't know. It is honor for you and not demean. Allahu A'lam.
May Allah preserve you from the Messiah. The statement you ascribe to Al-Imam Nawawi Rahimahullah in his book Al-Adhkar can be found under chapter 7.
Well, Sheikh Hussein Al-Awaisha, in his Sharh on Sahih Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, he mentions it in volume 2, page 454. Sheikh Hussein Al-Awaisha, he cited it from Al-Imam Al-Nawawi in his Sharh on Sahih Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, volume 2, page 454. He said, قال النووي في الأذكار. Al-Imam Al-Nawawi said, in Kitab al-Adhkar. So I have read from that sharh, not from Kitab al-Adhkar itself. So you can go back to Kitab al-Adhkar and check it. This statement from Al-Imam al-Nawawi is also cited by Sheikh Fadlullah al-Jilani, who first wrote the sharh on Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He also cited it in the second volume, page 242. So both Sheikh Hussein and Sheikh Fadlullah al-Jilani, they mentioned this expression to come from Al-Imam al-Nawawi in Kitab al-Adhkar. I hope that it is clear. You can go back to Kitab al-Adhkar itself. There's a young person's question, Abu Abdurrahman. The person perhaps we call it a day with that question, that I'm 9 years old. I listen to your class. Is the Ark of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam still on the earth? I don't know. La adri. I don't know whether that Ark is on the earth. There are a lot of reports about such things. People have, they say one Ark is somewhere. You remember in Surah Al-Hud, in Surah Al-Hud, Allah said, "Wastawat alal Judi." So near Jabal Judi, there are a lot of issues. Where is the Jabal Judi itself? Some say, no, it's in the Arabian Peninsula, this, and that around Jabal Judi, there was an ark that was found, and the people think that that ark is the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. There are other arcs that have been found in other places on the earth because there have been water, rains, deluge. So many things happen in various parts of the world at different times, causing that. There could also even be climate change in parts of the world, leading to what the archaeologists have discovered. So, but to say there's a clear-cut hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from the companions who don't report Isra'iliyat, specifically mentioning that the Ark of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is in a particular place. I have not come across something like that. I have not come across any proper proof to say that that Ark is still on the earth today. So what people have been saying, a lot of things, and Allah knows best what they are talking about. So, Allahu A'lam. Okay, what we can call it today. A brother just said, my wife just put to bed. Kindly make dua for her and the rest of the family. May Allah make this child, this girl, from the women of righteousness in this ummah. The girl that's just delivered. May Allah make her a child of righteousness. May Allah make her a child of righteousness. May Allah make her a child of righteousness with the rest of our children. A child of knowledge, a child of benefit, a child of sound health. Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram, may Allah make her like that. I also had a child last Monday. In fact, tomorrow I'll be slaughtering the Kiko for him. In my own case, it's a boy. And I named that boy, not the son of my son, Ikhwa. I was telling my uncle, one of my uncles, that I had a child. The doctor was asking me, is it one of your children that gave birth? I said, no, not one of my children giving birth. Me, myself, the Baba Gaga. So I had a boy. His name is Ali. We named him Ali. I beg Allah to make him a righteous, a knowledgeable child, a child of knowledge, child of righteousness. And the rest of all our children, mine and the rest of all of us, may Allah bless our children. Make them children who, when we see them, we are glad. When we hear about them, we are glad. May Allah rectify those of them that we have things about them we are not happy about. May Allah rectify our children. Make them be things of pleasure for us. Make them be means of support for us. Make them be means of goodness for themselves, for the rest of the people. Many times we say, make me child the ummah, benefit to the ummah. Yes, we want our children to be means of benefit to the ummah, the means of benefit to themselves, the means of benefit, so that you are not benefiting ummah, you are not benefiting anything. Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram. May Allah make our children beneficial to themselves, to their homes, to their families, to their wives, and to their children, to the rest of Muslims. May Allah make it so. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. Let me give us this dua. One of the early Muslims came to another early from amongst the Tabi'un. He complained that his son was not doing well. So what should I do to that boy? He has strange behaviors. So that's from amongst the Tabi'un. He told the next person who was asking him, I wouldn't remember where I found this asar. It's been a long time with me, but always make this dua. And I like us to be making it. Maybe Allah makes it become a means of goodness for us. It's a verse in the Quran. أَرَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. This is the point. أَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. Say this regarding that child. Be assured that Allah will rectify that child. ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي. إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. The meaning is that ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي. Oh Allah, make me, provide me the ability, make me someone who أشكر نعمتك. I will be grateful over the favors that you have granted on me. وعلى والدي, and I will be able to be grateful to my parents. I'll be grateful to you, and I can show gratitude to my parents for training me. وأن أعمل صالحا, make it easy for me to be of good deeds. أعمل صالحا ترضى, so that I can do good deeds that you are pleased with. وأصلح لي في ذريتي, rectify my descendants, my children. Allah rectify them for me. It needs to be like, Allah, I turn to you for repentance. I turn to you for repentance. Forgive me. I turn to you for pardon. Wa inni min al-Muslimin. I have ever been from those who submit to you. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya wa an a'mala salihan tarda wa aslih li fi dhurriyyati. إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. إخوة, say this a lot. Say this a favor of the Quran is دعاء. وأصلح لي في ذريتي, the main point there. يلا rectify our children. يلا make them the joy and the coolness for us. In this world, make them a means of benefit also in the hereafter. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم.